And let's bring another voice into this conversation. He's NPR political editor Ken Rudin. He's been up all night driving listeners away from the radio, and he's still here and at it. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Steve.
And I guess we should mention your prediction was that the Democrats would gain between 18 and 24 seats in the House.
I said 24, actually.
And they actually exceeded that, according to
They did it. As we're speaking right now, it's 28 and counting. There are still 13 House races we have not called, 11 of which are held by Republicans. So Democrats will probably go over the 230 mark.
Now, I want to ask about something that John Podesta said there. He said, let's wait for this press conference in the early afternoon when President Bush will speak and we'll see if he reaches out his hand to the other party. Let's assume the president does that. The president almost inevitably will say something gracious in this situation. But then the question is, how do you actually do that? How would two sides begin to work together in such a toxic environment?
Well, given the fact that many Democrats, including Nancy Pelosi, really ran against the Republican Party as being liars, corrupt, and warmongers, it'll be hard to tone down that rhetoric. But again, we've seen in the past with previous presidents, it has worked. When Dwight Eisenhower, Steve, as you remember, in 1954, lost both the House and the Senate,
right.
He reached over the line to Lyndon Johnson, the Democratic Senate Majority Leader, and got a lot done in the final 6 years of the presidency. When Ronald Reagan lost the Senate in 1986, his administration was stuck in the Iran-Contra hearings, and yet he brought in Howard Baker, said he would be more accommodating for the Democrats, and he left office with very high popularity ratings. Bill Clinton, on the other hand, when he lost the House and Senate in 1994, he used that to run against an overreaching Republican majority that Newt Gingrich was too conservative, Bob Dole was too conservative, and it helped Bill Clinton win re-election in 96.
Can the president, because of the powers that he has, still maneuver the Congress into doing things that they might not like, but they'll grit their teeth and do? I'm recalling 2002, when Democrats were in control of the Senate, but they still approved the Iraq War resolution, they still approved a Homeland Security bill that a lot of Democrats didn't like?
But 2002 was shortly after what happened in 9/11/2001, and President Bush's numbers were so high up, they were stratospheric. Whereas, remember, right after the 2004 elections, President Bush said, I have political capital and I intend to use it. He has really very little political capital right now. The war is terribly unpopular. The Bush administration's numbers are terribly unpopular. And it's really hard to see a president out of weakness trying to cajole the Democratic House and perhaps a Democratic Senate into doing what he wants.
Is this in any sense a new Democratic Party?
Well, it's new in the fact that they haven't had the responsibility to govern in a long, long time. But again, you know, we've seen the Republican Party has, even with a majority in the House and the Senate and the White House, they still couldn't refurbish Social Security. They still couldn't overhaul the immigration policy. Democrats may have the same problem, as Cokie Roberts said earlier. Given the fact that there's so many pro-life, pro-gun Democrats, can they work with the Nancy Pelosi's and the Charlie Rangels and the Henry Waxmans who will lead the Democrats in the House?
Is the divide between Democrats, or the possible divide between Democrats, going to be as important as the divide between Democrats and Republicans then?
Well, obviously what happened in 2006 is really going to be very toxic. And the fact that you still have if you have Democratic control in Congress and a Republican control in the White House, what I suspect we will see for the next 2 years will really be just counting out the days and the hours until 2008.
Let me ask one other question, if I might, because we're talking about all the changes here this morning. What doesn't change in the power structure in Washington? What remains as it has been, even though things seem quite exciting right now?
Well, look, if the war is the number one issue in the country, that doesn't change because it's still the same president of the United States. It's the same Secretary of Defense, as President Bush said he would keep Donald Rumsfeld the rest of his term. So while you will have more oversight and you will have more investigations in the Democratic Congress, the war policy may not change unless President Bush listens to the other side.
Ken, thanks for all your work. You look even better after being up all night than you normally do.
Especially on the radio. Thank you.
Absolutely. NPR political editor Ken Rudin.